Hello. I think I just need to start every podcast off like that.
Do you want to start over?
No, I think it's perfect. Oh,
okay, cool. Great. Hello, everybody. Happy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Hopefully Monday. I love Mondays. Hope that's when you're listening.
I despise Mondays, but we're here.
We'll talk about that later. Welcome. Is this episode 5? Oh, gosh. We hopped over the month threshold.
Oh, wow, we did.
Right.
I've been doing this for a month.
Ooh,
huh. I didn't even think of that.
The blessings. Wow. Anyway, y'all.
Shit, we did start this in the beginning of June.
Yep. Whoa. And it's the end. Last Monday in June. Ew.
Wow. We love that.
We love to see it. Well, welcome to I'm Not Ready. Clearly, we weren't ready for it to be a month in already. But I'm Drika.
And I'm Av.
And this is I'm Not Ready podcast, where we talk about dealing with life and everything that we weren't ready for in a world that we'll probably never be ready for. And personally, I feel that today, as in everything. Oof, child, it's a lot going
on. Literally falling apart before this podcast? Literally before the recording of this podcast?
Deadass.
I mean, it's always usually on her end. Like, that's the thing. I'm usually like, well, it's time for me to roll out of bed, put some clothes on, walk around my house. Then I'm just like, we need to record at some point. And then I'm texting Drika like, hey, we didn't do a meeting. And then you're like, well, I've been up since 5 a.m. and I've been running around doing this and I've been eating here and I've been participating in this and we need to do this. And I also have to do things 4 days from now, but I still have to think about it right now. And I'm just like, whoa.
Okay, pause. Y'all see that? Whoa. That was a slight drag that didn't even happen this morning, but that's what I'm talking about, where she drags me for no reason.
That's literally how it is.
But you didn't have to tell the truth like that.
Okay, but it's the truth.
It's still a drag.
Girl.
But no. I'm a busy bee by nature, and I definitely need to learn to relax. I'm trying. Yeah, it's rough, but what were you not ready for this week?
Oh yeah, jumping straight into it. Honestly, I think I was pretty ready this week. I don't think there was really anything that caught me off guard or that has traumatized me this week, pretty much. I didn't have a panic attack. I wasn't really upset about anything. Nothing really caught me by surprise. I guess I'm not prepared for our whole ass midterm we have.
Yikes.
Literally when this podcast comes out, the same day. So technically, if this comes out on Monday, we have literally a midterm that I'm not ready for. So.
You know what? I'm not ready for it right now, but I'm just going to claim that we will be ready.
Exactly.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Jesus' name, hello. Yes. All of that. You whispered it so they didn't hear you, but I heard that. But no, so.
Oh, I guess I also want to say, just because things are calming down with the Black Lives Matter movement doesn't mean that it's not still there. So please continue to look at the link below to support, sign petitions, and expand your knowledge on the Black Lives Matter movement, but also on Black lives in general. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yes. Just because news coverage is lacking, that doesn't mean that actual activism is lacking. So just remember to get your information from different sources. Look into things. Like I've said, hit the link below or on top, around, depending on the platform that you listen to us on. But yeah, so as always, I think I have more that I wasn't ready for. I still conquered that shit, but I wasn't ready for it. So I actually did a sleep study, and it was interesting. I think I thought I was prepared for it. What I wasn't ready for was to feel like some sort of like cyborg or android. Like they put. So, because of quarantine, I usually wear my hair in twists. Like, I just two-strand twist this mess up so that it's out the way. And So they have to put monitors on your head, I guess, like similar to when you get an EKG. And then, like, I had one on each leg. I had my right index finger wrapped. I had a whole band on my upper chest, like on top of my boobs. Yeah. And I had one around my stomach, and I had some on my back, and then they were on my face too. So I had one like on each temple, and then one like in front of your
ear.
Well, I was trying to think of the part of the ear, because my ears aren't necessarily small, so top to bottom my ear is a decent amount of space.
Okay.
But in front of your ear, it was just weird. So like, I wasn't ready, like, I guess, for the awkward, like, I think generally I've had a lot of anxiety because of what's going on, and being hyper vigilant with everything as a Black woman. So like, to keep it 100, which all, like, it just started going downhill when I missed my exit yesterday going there. But it was fine. I left with plenty of time to make it, and that was, I can't say downhill because it wasn't bad. But the other thing is, like, to be completely honest, parking garages freak me out.
That's interesting.
So the reason that they freak me out is because I know that that's a place where you're very vulnerable. Because if people aren't around, like, pretty much anything can happen. And, like, I've had time, like, I've told my boyfriend that there have been times, like, at school and work, where we get out of class late at night, and I have gotten into my car from the passenger side, because there's a big, like, truck parked next to me with tinted windows. And if I can't see inside of the car, I'm getting in from the safest door. And, like, as soon as I unlock that door, I lock all the doors back. And then I've, like, crawled over my console and drove off and, like, put my seatbelt on, like, on the first floor in front of the attendant station. Like, I know that it sounds like a lot, but, like, as a woman, especially a Black woman, I just know that I have to be, like, extremely hypervigilant. So last night I pull up thinking I'm going to get the valet, because I was like, I had cash, I had car, whatever they wanted, I could pay. Cool. So the girl was like, no, it's self-park. You have to go down to level 5. So I do. No, my scary ass, I park right by the door, because I'm like, I'm going to hop about, block this car, and go in the hospital. And yeah, so I think I wasn't really ready for all of that. Like, all of those little things that build anxiety. And then I'm in there, and like, I had my own room because the sleep set, like, people are still slowing down going to these centers. And so I had my own bathroom in the room, and there's this other door that says not an exit. So I'm like, is this another patient's room? Are we sharing a bathroom? But then I turn and look at the door to my room, and I realize that there's not the same sign. So after I'm hooked up, I asked the sleep study physician, whatever. She was really nice. But I asked her, I was like, so what's on that door through there? And she was like, oh, that's a linen closet. I said, oh, okay.
You're here paranoid over a closet, Bo. That's so funny.
Bro, I don't care. I'm going to ask every question, because I need to know.
Is it they finna hop out and get you?
Listen, the only thing I think that gave me some solace was the fact that because it was a sleep study, it's recorded. So they had a recording of me going all night. And then it's a continuous intercom that you can't turn off. So if I were to say anything, the lady could hear me.
Right.
But she had to press a button for me to hear her. So that gave me some solace. But listen, I was really sitting there like, what's really going on?
That seems like a lot.
It was.
I mean, you did have to do it for a reason, for your sleep apnea, so that makes sense. But I'm just like, oof.
Yeah, but apparently, I don't know, I might not have sleep apnea, because they were like, it was supposed to be split night, which means they wake you up in the middle of the night and put the mask on you to see if your oxygen levels are better and if you sleep better.
Cool.
Didn't happen. She was like, yeah, you slept fine. There was no need to wake you up. Like, you didn't have a lot of sleep disruption. So, more of the story, I'm probably find a little wedge pillow and get a good quality one and just do that. But yeah, I wasn't ready, because that was just so weird. And like, then to stick the nodes like to your head, they put this thick ass goop in your hair. So I had to wash my hair this morning. So when Av was texting me, I had already detangled my hair and tried to pull or wipe most of that stuff out of my scalp. But like, it's in two places, in like my middle part because my hair was already parted, which was good for that. And then, luckily, like, on each side behind where my glasses are, and then, like, a couple other places, there were, like, 6 to 8 of those things on my head. And each one had a group of, like, this Vaseline-like product. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, great. So, yeah, that was part of what added to the stress this morning, was the fact that I knew that I had to wash my hair because there was, like, nothing else.
You know what's interesting about that? It's kind of, it's interesting how, like, even medicine is so much around, like, whiteness in a sense. Only because I'm thinking, like, if you had your puffin at that moment, how the fuck would you have been able to get those things on your head? It wouldn't have happened.
It wouldn't. It wouldn't. And so, luckily, some of my family members have done it before, so I knew that my hair was okay. But, like, the other thing was, I purposely, for a few days leading up to it, didn't oil my hair because it says your hair can't be oily. I am black with a capital B. My hair needs oil.
Right.
My hair needs moisture. So it was fine. I survived. But yeah, we could have a whole episode about anti-blackness and racism in the medical industry, but that's not today. Girl, the other thing that I wasn't ready for, and honestly, I'm never ready for, is my 20s, which brings us to
our main episode. Guys, this is monumental. Let's talk about that. Because usually our episodes are literally 35% of what we weren't ready for, and then we actually get to the nonsense. We usually spend majority of our time just ranting. And now we actually got to our topic in a reasonable amount of time.
Look at God.
Mainly because we weren't stressed this week or on the brink of a panic attack.
Actually, I did almost have an anxiety attack this week, but I was able to, like, breathe heavy and, like, fight it off. So I was with, like, I not breathe heavy, breathe deeply and, like, be mindful. And so that was a tip that I picked up, and I was super happy about it. But anyway, as you were saying, this is monumental. Yes.
But yeah, so our topic for today, basically Drika came up with it, because, girl, I wasn't having no ideas today. It was giving head empty, smooth brain, no thoughts. Like, I was just like, whatever you come up with, we're going to go with it this week. So
on our outline,
it talks about our fears in our 20s and how we're going to overcome them, which I thought was very interesting because we're different ages, but we're both in our 20s. So our expectations of what we want in the future within the rest of our 20s is different. What we expected was different. And now what we're literally experiencing at the moment is different just because of our few age, like our age difference and whatnot. Yeah. So I think what I want to start with was basically kind of like unpacking that a bit more. So I added something and I was like, what were we expecting for our 20s? So when we were younger, what were we expecting? What are we experiencing now as someone in our 20s? And what we predict for the rest of our 20s to be like.
Okay, so this is where you want to start.
This is where I want to start because I feel like that'd be a good segue into the other things that you had.
Okay. I can.
And it could possibly touch on the other things too, like goal setting, preparations for 20. Yeah. Like, you know, it could touch on it.
Okay.
Wait, we should first start off by saying how old we are. I am 22.
I am 25. Woot woot.
Okay.
Wait, you're 22? Why did I think you were 23, yo? What the?
I turned feel like I'm 23.
Okay. Okay, yeah, so it's a full three. Okay, yeah, so, like, we're basically, like, a full 3 years apart because your birthday is
September.
Yeah, it's literally the month before mine. And you're, like, at the end of September because you're a Libra.
Right,
so, exactly. Yeah. Because, yeah, okay. And I'll be 26 this year. Okay, cool. So, funny that I'm 25 because when I was growing up, you know, I thought that in my 20s, I was a full adult. And I'm an adult, but, like, kind of. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm definitely an adult. Like, I handle my shit. I do what I gotta do. Like, I'm grown for all intents and purposes. But, you know, I am not where I thought I would be. And I am perfectly okay with that. Like, I have always been very type A. So, like, so much to the point that when I was in, like, the eighth grade, like, we had to do this project on where we wanted to go to school. And I was like, well, I'm going to go to Harvard so that when I want to go to Harvard Law School, they'll already know who I am and it's going to be great. I don't think I ever told you that.
You wanted to do law?
I wanted to be a lawyer up until my sophomore year of college and even into my senior year. Like, so in some of my campus roles, I served on different positions, and some of them were harder than others. And so one of the things that I did was like, God, what is it called? I was on a judicial review committee. And so we had a self-governed student body. So it was by students for students. So if you broke our code of conduct, you had to sit before the board. And it was like the president of the college, several, like a couple deans, like some faculty members, and then like the SGA president and like I think the honor court or J board president, I can't remember. And so I remember like doing the cases, and like a couple people would be like, oh, like aren't you so are you gonna go to law school, like the way you ask the questions. And I was like, no, I was like, I used to want that, but no.
I never thought that you'd want to do law.
I wanted to be a lawyer forever. Like, I even chose my undergrad institution because they had, I was looking at psychology, like, I knew that I wanted to be a psychology major, but I still wanted to go to law school. And so I picked, like, I was like, oh, well, I can go here and I can do psychology with the pre-law track. Like, I came and, like, I went pre-law. Like, I had a meeting with the pre-law advisor, like, at 18. I'm just like, so tell me what I need to know to get into law school. And, needless to say, I'm not going to be a lawyer. I actually did work in the legal industry when I graduated undergrad, and lawyers are batshit crazy. Some of them have God complexes, and some of them are just awful freaking people. However, I know some amazing lawyers who have really big hearts, who do community service, and who are awesome. But by and large, a lot of them have egos. So yeah, all that to say, I wanted to be a lawyer. So like my plan was to like be a lawyer in my 20s. I said that I was going to graduate at 22. I was going to get like my JD, like and just like a personal side. I was like, I'm going to be married at 25.
Oh no.
My kids at 28.
You were one of those girls.
Girl, when I tell you, first of all, I've had my wedding planned since I was like 13.
Yep. You were one of those girls.
Okay, so y'all know that Tyler Perry movie. You know what I'm gonna say. The Tyler Perry movie, it's Diary of a Mad Black Woman. Y'all know the wedding in that movie?
Yeah.
Where they walk in, she's like, I give you Paris in the springtime. Yep. And they walk in and it's like all this white and everything. Like literally, I was freaking cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs because I was like, so my plan was that I wanted a big wedding. I wanted this extravagant dress. I've never wanted a ball gown. But I wanted this really extravagant wedding dress, and I wanted people suspended from the ceiling. Like I wanted people sitting on it, like from the ceiling.
You are like on so ridiculous. Benches.
No, just listen. I wanted them hanging from the ceiling. On these benches, and I wanted the like all black people in white. I wanted it to look like black angels were gracing my wedding, and I wanted people playing the harp. Like I wanted to walk down the aisle, and I had everything planned out, even to my groom's reaction. I was like, and as we're saying our vows, I need a single tear coming out of the groom's eye. Like it was so
brother.
But honestly, so mind you,
oh man,
so I planned to have this wedding at 25.
Well,
I'll be 26 this year, and let me tell y'all, I ain't getting married. Not this year, not next year, and probably not the year after that.
I will get married
but
we'll get to present day soon. I'll do a quick synopsis of mine.
I felt like that was important, so you knew my character.
My expectations of me being 20. First off, I didn't have any. You can ask my best friend. Okay, so I did have certain dreams and like things that I wanted to do. Career-wise, of course, the African jumped out. You wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be a doctor. Come on.
Who would have thought? We just need the engineer.
I know. We just need the engineer on the podcast that didn't decide to do engineering.
Right.
But yeah, so my expectations of my 20s, I just thought I was about to be a free bird, living my best life. You can ask my best friend. I remember me and her had English together in 9th grade, and she's more a bit like you, a little less crazy, but she was more of the idea of like, I want to like be this, and I want to do this, and I want to be married and have blah, 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 blah by this. The only difference is that she definitely stuck by that. She was like, I'm going to be a vet. I'm going to go to vet school this time. I'm going to have get married and have kids at this time. And so far, her track has been A-okay, perfect. She said she wanted to do something. She did it. Love that for her. Supporting her all the way. For her. Me, on the other hand, in terms of school, I was like, yep, want to be a doctor. Always wanted to be a doctor. Literally was like, gonna grow up be an orthopedic surgeon, full on, like knew exactly what I wanted to do. And I think it was because my parents were nurses, so they had a lot of like medical books and a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I would see those, and I would watch medical shows all the time. I'd read medical books. My parents would buy me anatomy books all the time, and I'd read them and like study them. I'd be like, yeah, this is so fucking cool.
The way
cool.
you set your and parents up.
Oh, they were so sick, but we're gonna get there. But yeah, so I was like, easy, I'm going to go to undergrad, go to med school, finesse my little way through residency, be done by like 27, 28, and live my best life. And then I'll settle down, get married, and do whatever I want to do, right? And in terms of relationships, not going to lie, I didn't even imagine myself getting married.
That's fair.
Because I guess for me, I just never really saw it for myself. Not because I didn't think that, well, marriage is a scam in certain ways, and we can get into that on another episode, but for me, I just never saw it as a vital part of my life. I always thought of it as like, that's like a secondary thing that could come about, and if it happens, great. If it doesn't, I'm okay. And because my parents were already like, you're the only girl, don't get pregnant, I was like, easy bet, don't have to mess with niggas. Easy solution. Easy, don't mess with them. So squeezy. Facts. So I don't even have that issue because I just don't mess with them. So I never had a dream wedding. I never even really thought about being married. I just knew for a fact that I didn't want to do anything with a man up until like 27, 28. Like that's when I was thinking fair. Like, okay, if I wanted to like get married and do certain things, that would be the time that I really care about it. I was literally like, I remember I told my friend, I was like, I'm going to be at home in college. I was like, I'm going to be a hoe. Get my little hoe on.
Love that.
Finagle my way. Do everything for grad school. Maybe settle down. Like, I really was convinced I would have my first boyfriend at, like, 25.
Okay.
Like, my first, like, serious boyfriend. I was like, I can wait till, like, 25. Not super pressed. I want to find myself. Get my shit together. I'll figure if I have to deal with a nigga, I'll deal with them. But I won't take it seriously until around 25. Then I got to college.
LOL.
And baby, the minute I sat my ass in that chemistry class, the way I knew I was never going to be a doctor.
Chemistry is the subject that will tell you what you can and cannot do. Let's just talk about
facts. Facts. I knew right then and there that when I sat my ass in that chemistry class, I would never be a doctor. At least not a doctor of medicine. I knew it instantly. And it was just really sad because I was like, bro, like, this is the only thing I imagined myself doing. Like, I don't know what else I can do. Like, my whole life was built on the fact that I was going to be the doctor of the family and be the bad bitch that
yep.
is out here making money, traveling, and finessing. And now, I don't know how I'm going to do that if I can't be a doctor. So, freshman year was traumatic because my whole world was shattered, besides the fact that I was in Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh is disgustingly white and racist, but especially at the time that I went, because I was in the middle of like Mike Brown, Freddie Gray, and all that bullshit, and Yik Yak was popping off, and the racists were at it.
Yo,
they were fucking Yik Yak
was. I was never on Yik Yak, but I heard about how bad that was.
Absolutely not. It was literally traumatizing. I was like, nope, can't stay here because there's racists all around me. I was like, I'm gonna get lynched out here. Like, absolutely not.
Listen,
the reason why I went was because, well, I went to Pitt because I liked Pitt. Like, when I went, I was like, this is a beautiful school. Like, I really have no problem with it. It had a good medical program and everything like that. And also, I love Mac Miller. And I was like, I'm going to see Mac Miller live. RIP. I'm still sad I didn't get to see him while he was alive. It breaks my heart. But yeah. So for me and my expectations of being 20, I really just thought I was about to be out here in the streets, living my best life, thinking I'm finna be moved out by a certain time, being a doctor, mm-hmm. and if I get a nigga, I get a nigga. But me, just, I really just thought I was about to be a bad bitch. And it's still possible because I'm still young. But
I mean, you're definitely still a bad bitch. I just don't
have the time. Has my perspective changed so quickly? And I'm only 2 years into this.
Bruh. So I think that part of the reason that I had these expectations, first of all, now
I'm in a committed relationship, have been for 3 years, and we're not in a rush to get married. Like, my family, like my aunt, who I love dearly, is just like, well, y'all can go ahead and make it official. You already live together. And then people are like, oh, like, what if I want, like, a niece or a nephew or a grand? Pause.
But, you know, pause. It's also a little bit different because, well, considering the fact that Maryland's, like, fake South, but, like, you're from Southern states.
I mean, and, I'm
like,
from a the lot deep of them, South.
Yeah, deep South is more of it. Yeah, so, like, you guys are, like, kind of expected to get married young. That's, like, almost a stereotype.
No, that, so that's definitely part South. Of it. So,
yeah.
Like, while I'm African, like, my father's Nigerian. However, my mother is Black American, and my mother's family comes from, like, deep, deep South Georgia. Like, I mean, further south than where Kendrick Johnson is from. Let me just put it in perspective like that. Like, a little bit further south. Mm-hmm. But Valdosta is the closest city, closest big city or college town, what have you. So, I mean, there are definitely those expectations. And I think because of how I grew up as a Black girl in the South with not only a Nigerian father, but, like, even a Southern stepfamily, like my stepmom, her family's from Alabama. So,
right.
No difference. And then, you know, kind of growing up in church and being mm-hmm. taught that, like, marriage is a goal and aspiring to have a man is a goal.
Right.
It's fucking gross.
Mm-hmm.
It's gross. And so in college, I was fortunate to not only grow into my Blackness, but into my womanhood, and right. at the same time really grow into myself as a Black woman and learn about what I want. And first of all, I'm not trying to get married right now. I love my partner. We're not rushing. Everybody can rush us all they want, but that's their business. That's their issue.
Right.
I don't even know if I care to be married really anytime soon. But anytime, I mean, within the next year, like, it's just not a rush for me. Like, I am in no rush to do that. I am not in a rush to have children. First of freaking all, whether I have kids is the other question. Like, that's a strong possible. Like,
we can slide that question. We can slide that question to the future aspect. But
yes,
as of right now. But
no, for right now, I'm happy. I'm happy with where I am. I love everything that I've done. So career-wise.
Since you're not a lawyer, as we can see.
Yeah, so a year from now, God willing, glory, all praise to the Most High, I will be graduating with my master's in industrial organizational psychology. I do plan, the goal is to be a consultant. Particularly, my biggest interest right now is, like, human capital. Because I'm interested in, like, leadership development, but I'm also interested in change management. And I think I'm still a little crazy because I see how I planned my 20s and they didn't work out. I have my career planned. I don't know if I'm gonna tell y'all right now, that'll be on another episode. But I always heard it in class, like, when professors have been like, so what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, I want to do this for X many years, and then I want to transfer to do this, and then in the future I have a goal of doing this. And everybody else in class is like, maybe I'd go do X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, this, and this.
Right.
And so right now, I think the biggest lesson that I've learned is that no matter how much you plan, it's better to just make goals that are attainable instead of having these lavish plans. Because I think that at the end of the day, your plans, if they're not realistic, can set you up for failure or set you up to be upset with yourself. I honestly... I am really proud of myself for everything that I've done. At 25, I've had a hell of a life. Maybe I'll write a book one day. Maybe it'll be a movie. Catch me on a screen near you. Come on, 2032. But I am
super proud of everything I've done. I'm super happy with where I am. And I think the biggest lesson that my 20s so far has taught me, because I'm halfway through, is that, you know, you should work hard, but you should also have fun. And that really, at the end of the day, you got to grind and hustle for yourself. Don't depend on nobody for nothing. And at the end of the day, you have to be happy with yourself. And really, honestly, just have fun. Like, enjoy it. And figure out your goals and work towards them. Like, never stop focusing on yourself. But also, it's taught me to, like, give as much as I can. And I've always thought of myself as a giving person. But, like, one thing that I've appreciated is, like, any opportunity that I've had to give or to help somebody else or, like, to learn. It's really just that even though I'll be done with grad school in a year, I'm never going to be done learning. I won't go back to school. You won't catch me in a classroom.
Facts.
But I'll never stop learning. I think that a lot of people view, like, I think as a society, we really put a lot of emphasis on high school and college being like the glory days.
Right.
And postgraduate depression is real. I think that's really weird how we put like that emphasis on those times. But honestly, I am learning so much in my 20s. I am growing. I'm trying to be glowing. So yeah, that's my rambling ass way of saying your 20s are great, but they're also a headache. You'll probably have a quarter life crisis, existential dread, some anxiety. You might be broke. You might still be eating like a college student. But
my gosh,
but pressure builds diamonds and character is created in the darkest times. I truly believe that.
You just be dropping gems, sis. I hear you. I hear you. Just to touch on what you said about why they emphasize that high school and college so much, just because of youth.
Yes,
they value youth in this country. So it's just like the minute you hit like 21, it's downhill from there, essentially.
Yep. After 21, like, it's like, you're not that great.
Well, after 21, it's literally downhill because your body literally degenerates after 21. But it's like they put so much value on your youth because it's just like, well, you're getting old now, so you can't have fun. You can't do anything that you want to do anymore. And it's like, nigga, you can do the exact same stuff, if not more, because now you're older. That's why everyone thinks that your life ends at 30 for some reason. And it's just like, no, you're probably just as able as you were when you were 25.
No, seriously. I've heard so many people say that 30s are like your 20s, but with money. Do you know how I'm ready for that?
I want that. That sounds lovely. But besides the school part. But yeah, so for me, I'm still on the entrance. I'm still stepping into my 20s. Mm-hmm. I think my experience is also a bit different because I never got a break from school. So for me, my life has consisted with just school. So I went from elementary to middle to high to college to post-grad, like, you know, graduate school and everything. So I don't have as much experience in terms of like the outside world, in terms of things that I should be doing. I'm still up in my parents' house, like still doing the very basic shit that I was doing before. And I mean, for those people that are in the same position as me, whether you're like, you just graduated and having that post depression, or you are in a position where you're doing something, but you're still kind of in your parents' house and it still makes you feel like you're a child. Trust me, I understand. And it fucking blows. But the thing is, you have to be patient with yourself. You have to be patient with your plans, and things are going to work out in your favor, because at the end of the day, you're not paying rent. And all the niggas that try to make you feel bad because you're still up at your parents' house, save your money, and then
doing that. Like,
don't even do that. But besides that, But besides that, in terms of relationship, so everything is so backwards. Like, I said I was not going to date until at least 25. Why have I been dating since 20?
Well,
literally stepped into my 20s with a nigga. That's a mess. I was like, huh? Because the thing is, 18 and 19-year-old me, especially 19-year-old Avril, she was out here doing some business that don't need to be discussed. Maybe on a Patreon. But like, when I finally got into my 20s, that's when I met my boyfriend. And it's a very strange thing because it's just like, okay, well, you're still trying to figure yourself out, but now you also have to figure yourself out with another person watching. Mm-hmm. And them calling you out on your shit. And depending on the type of person you are, that can be very, very invasive and you feel very attacked. So a lot of the times we would get into fights because he'd call me out on shit, not necessarily to be a dick, but to be like, yo, you should be doing better because this is kind of fucking mean. And I'd be like, who the fuck are you to tell me about anything that I'm doing? Who the hell do you think you are, nigga? And I'd just be like hella defensive and all that stuff. But I mean, it's really just a learning curve, and it's really just like understanding yourself and being in a relationship with someone that you love. It's just like, you know, you'll make those changes, you'll make those sacrifices, and you know, at the end of the day, you don't want to hurt them. So for me, I knew that if I was making a certain change, it wasn't because I'm changing my character. It was only off the strength of me wanting to be a better person in general, but a better partner to my partner, you know? In terms of marriage, I told that nigga, I was like, don't even think about anything until like 27, okay? I literally told him, like, when we started dating, I was like, you know, I think I like you a lot. This could possibly work in the future. Don't do anything. Don't get crazy here, because it ain't gonna happen till I can ball out.
No, that's because real.
Because now I'm not necessarily the person who was ever into marriage, right? I honestly never thought that I'd really even get married. Not because, again, I was like, I don't want to get married. I was just like, I don't see it for myself. But now that I have someone that I like, I'm just like, this could possibly happen. And if this could possibly happen, I could possibly make it as fabulous as possible. And I want it to look fly. So I'm just like, if I want it to look fly, not necessarily sure how it's going to look fly yet, but I know it's going to be expensive because I'm an expensive ass hoe. So I'm just like,
I'm just like, no, don't do facts, the expensive part.
Check. I need a salary, my nigga.
That's exactly why I refuse to get married at this age, because I want to know that we're good. If one of us loses our job, God forbid, we're good. If something happens to the economy, we're good. If one of us has an unhealthy work situation, I want that one of us to be able to step away and not worry about how we're going to pay bills.
Right.
Like
we should be able to sustain
ourselves. Adamantly believe in being able to sustain yourself and your partner when you're married. But that's me personally. People can do what they want. You know, struggle love looks different for different people. I'm not putting nothing down because, neither one of us got money like that. I mean, I'm still pre-wealthy. Never broke. Always pre-wealthy. But, yeah, no, I'm not on that train. You know, and I don't knock what anybody else does. I don't knock anybody else's relationship. There are people who get married at the courthouse. There are people who just get married in their living room or their backyard. Right. And that is beautiful, because I really think the foundation of a marriage is that people love each other. But it is also okay to have standards. And I think that in my 20s, that's something that I've really learned, because I've, you know, even some people who are friends or who I thought were friends and turned out to be snakes, like, have tried to tell me that my standards are too high. That's pure hogwash. My standards are not too high. Don't roll your eyes. I'm a hogwash.
Oh my gosh.
My standards are not too high. And don't ever let anybody tell you that your standards are too high. And the reason I say that is because any standard that I hold you to, I hold myself to. And that's why I truly believe that your friends are an indication of who you are, because I'm not gonna lie, I always be talking about how Av gets me together, but I never tell y'all about how I be snatching her up on occasion, because
occasion very rare.
It's very, very rare. But because I've learned that my standards are important and I stick to them, and I listed everything I wanted in a partner, and I did not have, you know, I didn't give people the time of day. I was like, my schedule's busy, you got to meet it. And I found somebody who said, when do you have free time? That's when I'll slide.
Right.
And I have friends that understand that I'm busy and understand that I need to study, because they're doing the same shit.
Right. I think that's another thing. Well, that goes more into friendships and stuff. And I think we're going to have an episode about that, because like friendships change. And like when you start doing shit that's different from your other friends, that could be turned into a whole nother thing. That's another episode. But not for real.
Like, yeah.
For me, I think the overall thing was just, I think it was two things, because I used to never really fall in line with like the standards of being a woman, quote unquote, like the whole like wanting a marriage, being super feminine, doing a lot of those things. And I think it was like almost like a switch in my brain of me just wanting to defy like everything feminine, because I was just like, if that's not me, that's not what I want. So I think now for me, coming into my 20s and like actually enjoying some of those feminine aspects, like, it's not bad that I want a marriage at some point, even though, again, like, I understand, like, the whole, like, history and the actual litigation and, like, you know, the fucking misogynistic patriarchy aspects of marriage.
Yes.
We get that. And that was a lot of things that I didn't really want for myself. But at the same time, it's okay to want those things if you want it in the way that you want it. Like, if you want it a certain way, like, if you really see it as, okay, it's me and my partner, and I see him, and I love him, and I wouldn't mind him living with me and being with me for the rest of my life. And I would prefer us be married when we're doing those things. That's all. So, and that's okay. And again, like, me coming into my femininity, like, being okay with showing my body, because I wasn't super good with that. Me being okay wearing makeup, wasn't super cool with that. Like, you know, just coming into things and, like, being more comfortable with myself and the things that I do like. And the things that I don't like and I don't ever want to subscribe to. So that's fine. In regards to career, again, I'm young. 22, meaning my ass doesn't have experience in shit. But because I went straight into my master's, it's just like, oh, okay. So it kind of seems like you know what you're doing. We're in the same program. So I'd also be graduating next year with a master's in IO.
Whoop, whoop.
So I know, right? I can't fucking wait. The way I'm never finna step foot in the classroom.
Yeah, you said that, but I hate to tell you, you're wrong. You might never be in school again, but I guarantee you, you'll be in a classroom again. We can talk about that later.
What, like me being a teacher?
Girl, no. You'll be in a classroom. Just be careful what you say.
Oh, no. I know. Like, I never say never. I'm never one of those girls that are like, I never do that, because that's for a fucking fact I'll end up doing that thing. And honestly, the way my demented African brain works, I would not be surprised if I end up in a PhD. So don't quote me on that tweet. Okay? Thank you.
I'll give you because a year I'm before demented, you start talking about it.
And I love
a year after graduation.
Torture.
So I guarantee it'll crush your mind.
See me at a PhD, mind your business. Okay? So mind your business. But so I never really knew exactly what I want to do with my PhD. Like, I don't have a certain extended long-term plan. Like, I don't even necessarily know what I'm going to be doing next year. And that's honestly okay, because I was also the same way of, like, planning my shit out too far and then getting hella disappointed. Like, it was borderline debilitating when I found out I couldn't be a doctor. And I knew that I couldn't. Yeah. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, you find out that you want to do something so bad and you know it's not meant for you. So you're, like, praying and, like, doing anything you can and studying 20,000 hours a day, and then you trying your hardest and you're still shitty.
that's what hurts.
That's what's really painful, because, and then it comes off like you're not trying hard enough. And it's like, if I wasn't trying hard enough, I would have just been like, I don't want to do it. You know what I mean? And again, like, when it came to my parents, like, them finding out I didn't want to be a doctor, as much as they like to admit now that they were fine, they were not fucking fine.
Oh, no, they weren't. Of course they weren't.
They weren't fucking fine at all. And it turned into a whole thing, because it was like, besides the fact that Pitt was expensive as fuck, and I totally got that part, it really felt like the way they portrayed it in such a way that was like, well, we don't want you to be a failure. Like, we want you to be okay. You know what I mean? But the way it came off was like, you choosing anything besides doctor, lawyer, engineer is giving
not enough. It's not enough.
Right. And that's from their perspective, because again, they're like, from their culture, like, they want to do something that's safe, you know? And of course I love them for that, and them wanting for me to be as safe as possible. But it was debilitating, because it was just like, I can't do this shit. I'm a failure. And then my parents have put so much effort and time into me wanting to do this, and then I found out I can't, and then they're just like, well, what the fuck you finna do? And I'm just like, I don't even know, nigga. Like, I don't know either.
Can't tell you.
I can't tell you. I don't fucking know.
Yo.
So, and then I just knew that I liked psychology so much. And that's the craziest thing about it. Like, me being here, if you would have told 18-year-old Afro that she would be doing IO psychology, I would have been like, what the fuck is even that? What is that?
Yep.
What do you even mean? Like, what are you talking about? Like, my transition from going from literally being pre-med to, like, now doing work psychology, essentially, is just, like, that wasn't even an option for me before. That wasn't something that was ever discussed. And, I mean, there is a level of privilege in that, in the sense that I can easily switch my major and switch schools and do certain things that I want to do and kind of, like, float around and figure it out as I go. I had to figure it out fast. It's not like I stayed an extra year. Girl, I was doing 4 years. That's all my parents were giving me, love. Like, they were like, yeah, we're paying 4 years. If you're not done by then, that's on you. And I was like, okay. But yeah, a lot of people don't even hear about different careers. Again, they're only told nurse, doctor, lawyer, engineer. And if you're not those things, you're going to be fucking broke. And
or maybe like a teacher. Like, being a teacher is like, yeah, all right, you're, well, you're educating people. That's noble.
If you do art, or if you do psychology or social work, or literally any other career besides those four, like, you're going to be broke.
Yeah, no, I remember that conversation I had when I told my dad. I was like, well, I'm going to major in psychology. And he was like, so this psychology thing. And he was like, well, I've asked some people, which is code for I decided on my own, but we're not going to get into that.
I heard. As yeah, in, I'm thinking.
Yeah. African parents are good for that. Well, I consulted some people. Who did you consult? But yeah, no, it was like, well, can you make money with this psychology thing? Yes.
Right.
Can you have a good life? Yes. See, the issue is that people typecast certain subjects into certain roles. And
basically anything that isn't STEM.
Yep. And then the other thing with psychology is, well, so you want to be a therapist. Huh?
Yep.
No.
Counseling.
I think that I would be a great therapist. I think that counseling psychology is amazing. I know for a fact I would be a wonderful therapist. But I don't want to take people's problems home with me. And that self-awareness is key, which is also something that I've got. Shout out to my 20s. But yeah, no. So I definitely had that experience with telling my African parent, like, yeah, I'm going to be a psychology major. Yeah. And what that was like. But I think it's funny, especially after last week's episode, knowing how our charts are so similar. Mm. I was extremely girly. Even though I played basketball like in middle school, like I did child pageants. Like I always had a purse. Like I've always been like, where's my jewelry? Where are my earrings? Where are my pearls? Like, pink is my favorite color. Like, oh, that's not feminine enough. Like, I've always liked having my nails done. Like, every single thing that you would think is feminine,
she was in it.
Probably attribute that to me.
Giving pageant queen tease.
I never did debutante or cotillion. That's another conversation. But had I known what they were, and had I had that kind of support or interest at home, I would have been up in there. Yep. I definitely would have. Yep. So I just think that's interesting. So when I got to college, what my 20s taught me is that womanhood doesn't look one way. Because at the same time that I was very girly, I was very conservative. Mm-hmm. And so I really have college to thank for that. And I understand my privilege in even being able to attain that. And so, like, even though I have student loans and stuff. But in college, that's when I learned that womanhood is how you define it. So, like, if you want to talk about, like, not covering, like, I do not believe in having to cover yourself up. I think that it's a woman's choice, and if you choose to do that, I'm all for it. But I never believe in doing that for a reason that's not your own. Like, when I tell y'all, college is when I did it all. I was like, mini skirt, I'm there.
She was like, a help.
Ass out, she I'm in it. I can't take it back because I did the shit. Okay, but I think it was more so like a whole phase in terms of like my dress. I dated a lot, but that's about that. I really, you know, but no, like I'm talking like tight stuff, short stuff. And I really loved looking at myself, wear those things. Like I have probably since like my sophomore year of college really loved some of those things. I mean, like I just love, even though I have issues sometimes with how I look personally, I really grew to like love what I could do with my body and what that expression looks like. And I am all for like wearing whatever you want. So I think that was something that my 20s taught me in terms of like my womanhood, that it doesn't look one way. Don't get it twisted. Like if you see me going to a corporate thing, like I'm still very much like reserved. Like Av has seen me in my like professional attire, even going to class.
No, literally.
But that's something.
I think for me, it was kind of just like, I've always had, I don't really know how to say it. Like, it always felt like certain things that were very gendered. Mm-hmm. I always felt like it was very weird. Like, I always had a sense of certain things that I didn't want to do or didn't want to contribute or didn't want to participate in because it's like deep down I knew something was very fucked up about it. Mm. And I think that's why for me it was very hard for me to get a better grasp of my femininity, because it felt like everything that I did was attached to objectification. Mm. Because for me, I've always been kind of thicker. Like, I always had boobs, I always had ass, and I was very curvy. So for me, it was like anytime I felt like someone was looking at me, it felt like they were like sexualizing me, and it made me very uncomfortable. So, and it's not like someone ever did anything to me. It's not like I was like touched or like assaulted or anything like that. It was just like a weird thing in my brain where it was just like, and it could have possibly been comments that I've repressed in my brain that I don't remember anymore, but it was just like, it felt like everybody was staring at me. And I was like, for a long time, I was just like, I don't want to look so different that people are staring, you know? Yeah. I was just like, I just want to wear my clothes and go about my business, and people see me as like who I am, not necessarily because I have titties and ass, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I think going into college, I think I started becoming more comfortable with my body in the sense where I could just like wear what I want to wear.
Girl, you look good.
I mean, that's the cure. I know I'm fucking fine. But like the thing is, it was just like, I didn't want that to be the only thing that represented me. Right. So for a long time in my head, it's like, because I know I looked good, I was just like, I don't look that good. Like, I would, like, psych myself out of things to be like, well, I don't look that good. Or I don't need to be wearing that because people are going to stare at me. Or I don't need to have nails or wear makeup because they're going to look at me and they're going to be like, oh, you're trying too hard. Like, it was stuff like that. And wow. That's when, I know. And again, it was just all in my head. Because certain things that feminism and, like, womanism taught me about, like, how people would like wear makeup and wear certain things because it was like to attract a man, that's, I was completely against that, you know what I mean? But then I started to because I was like, my existence doesn't exist to attract a man, essentially. Like, I didn't give a fuck about that. But then I started to understand that a lot of women just wear those things because they like it, and when that
me
and then when that shit clicked in my brain, I was like, they wear it because they like it.
And that's interesting been me with development.
And I think that's when I started to actually enjoy certain things. I was just like, I can wear makeup. I may not be super great at it, but I enjoy it, so I'm going to wear it. I may not like showing my body all the time, but if I'm feeling like wearing short shorts and showing ass, I'm going to show ass. If I want to get my nails done every week, it's not for niggas. It's because I like having my nails done. And I think that was like that shift that happened. And again, that happened in college because I was just like, I don't really want to like wear certain things to come off as a certain way. It's like, why the fuck does that matter when you know why you're wearing your clothes? You know why you're putting your makeup on. You know why you're doing X, Y, and Z. And I was like, you're fucking right. You snapped. And then ever since then, I've been like, I don't give a fuck. And I don't give a fuck what other people wear. As long as you're not hurting yourself and you're being as expressive as possible, girl. But yeah. So I guess we can kind of wrap it up on our future.
On your future, y'all, we apologize for any technical difficulties. You went out, Av. You said future, and then we heard nothing.
Oh, it broke up. Yeah. I was saying, so I guess we can wrap it up into going into like what we expect for the rest of our 20s, like our future.
Gotcha. What do we expect for the rest of our 20s? Honestly, like, to keep it a bean, I think personally the last 3 years of my 20s have been extremely hard. From the time I was like a senior in college through like now, like I'm definitely at a good place and a better place, but you know, that's like a mix of personal stuff that I won't get into, and like 20s and unlearning a lot and learning more about myself. So the rest of my 20s, honestly, these last 5 years are kind of four. Oof, child.
Kind of technically four
and a half. Oh, shit. October is month 10. Half, it's month literally. 6, 7. Ooh, yikes.
Woo.
Four and like a quarter. Anyway, so this last 4 years in my 20s, I am really, really looking forward to. I am looking forward to my career, launching that, and seeing what other ventures I have. Like, you know, just praying for my continued success, for my health, for growth, for really good friendships. I think the rest of my 20s, I think, looks authentic, and it looks like unconditional love and respect. And I think I'm at a point now where I just will not tolerate anybody or anything that does not serve me. And that's not to be one way or one-sided, because I think anybody that's my friend will tell you that I'm a good friend to have. I love my friends. I treat my friends like family. But I have no room in my 20s or the rest of my life, so don't try that shit in my 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, or my 100s, because I really want to live to be over 100. Mark my words. Centenarian.
Mark anyway. Your words, babe.
Listen.
It's literally like 80 years from now.
Yeah, you're right.
You think, and that's check for this podcast, episode 5.
When girl, you don't know. We could go on to be great, and they're going to come back like, wow, and we saw it then. We saw it then. Really the rest of my 20s, honestly, career wise, growth, glowing. I really am, honestly, I know that I'm great, and I'm learning to accept that and really puff myself up. But the rest of my 20s looks amazing. My career looks amazing. My friendships look amazing. My mental health glow up looks wonderful, like my physical health and everything else. The rest of my 20s, honestly, is what I've been grinding for. And I feel like there are quite a few things that I'm, you know, close to really seeing a harvest for, like the seeds that I've planted and everything else. And the one thing I will say to everybody who's entering their 20s or early 20s is, like, protect your peace at all costs, and never be so scared of what's out there that you stick with what you're in.
Stick with what you know. Yeah, I agree.
And never be afraid to get out of a bad situation. Always learn. Always ask yourself how you feel. And take care of yourself. Like, those are, like, really my biggest things for your 20s is, like, don't stop until you get the answers that you're looking for.
A word. Yeah, I mean, I'm in a different, again, position, because I'm technically a couple months away from 23. So I got a little bit more time.
7 years. Don't rub it in.
7 years. Woo! Baby. But, yeah, I mean, I guess what I expect from my, like, if I'm thinking, like, where would I be at, like, 26, 27? In an ideal world, I would be up out my parents' fucking house. Amen. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
I'd be up out this bitch. And I would pay off my loans. Those are the two things that I think are, like, the most important goals for me. Like, within, like, the near future, considering that I'm only 3 years away from 26. What the fuck?
Relax.
That's fucking wild. That's fucking wild to even think about. Because math. But, yeah, I think for me, it's really, since I have so much time to grow, and, again, I would just say, just don't put so many restrictions on yourself.
Yes.
Be open to things not working out, because it's more likely that there's going to be things in your life that don't work out. So there are goals that I have for myself. There are things that I would want to have and achieve at a certain time, but you just also have to let life take its course. Just be willing and open to new experiences, be willing and open to things not working out, because sometimes they don't work out for a reason. Maybe you're not meant to be doing that. Maybe you're not meant to be experiencing that at that time. Maybe it's something that's for the future and not for right now, and I think that's okay, you know. And just don't let it debilitate you just because it doesn't work out. Like, you can always have a backup plan or something that you can do too. So I think that's very important. And what's the last thing I wanted to say? I guess that's pretty much it. I think it's really just being prepared for your future in a way that's just authentically you. Like, I feel like I'm the most authentic version of myself right now, in the sense that I'm not doing shit to impress my body. Right. I'm not doing shit for my parents. I'm not doing shit for my boyfriend or my friend. Like, every choice that I'm making right now is for me. And it's okay to be selfish and do that, because this is the time to be selfish.
That's what I was going to say. Like, it's always time to be selfish. And depending on how you grow up, again, I won't touch on that, but I've had a life where I haven't been able to be selfish in the way that I want.
Same.
And now I am fiercely selfish, where all of my goals that I had for myself, as you all have seen, have changed. And I fiercely defend them, regardless of who it is I'm talking to, because I deserve happiness. I deserve those things because I work for them. And my biggest thing is, anybody that tells you to do anything, tell them they can do that for themselves. Be fiercely selfish and protect yourself at all costs. And I think, like there's mental preparation in that. So, like, you definitely have to prepare for everything you want to do. Write it down. Plan it out. You know, talk to somebody who does what you want to do. But honestly, like, yeah, I mean, your 20s are great, but quite frankly, anything is only as good as you make it. Like, that's just that. Anything is only as good as you make it. So, take what you will.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. It's really, especially as Black women, a lot of the times we don't get the opportunity to do things because we just want to do them. Like, it's always because, like, we're trying to do something that attributes to our Blackness or do things with the benefit of being a woman or a Black woman. And it's just like, sometimes you just want to do things because you like them, you enjoy them, it's fun, it's not costing your life. So, yeah, I think that's a good place to end it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. Wow, this is the least stressful conversation I think we've had out of all of our four episodes. I think
it was straightforward. Every other week there's been like some crazy shit going on. Oh, I cannot let this episode go by without saying rest in peace to Huey, the rapper behind Pop Lock and Drop It.
The song?
Yes.
Pop Lock and Drop It.
Yes.
Pop.
Really? Yes. Yes. He was shot last night in St. Louis. So our thoughts and prayers are with your family, and we hope that, you know, Huey's family gets justice.
I hope so too.
I'm tired of 2020 doing this. It's not a laughing matter, but it's one of those things where you gotta laugh, keep from crying, because it's like, why? But in all seriousness, we could probably come back to our 20s in one time, depending on how long we're doing this or how we feel in a few months. But honestly, this is probably, like, this is a fun conversation, I think. But if y'all have opinions, let us know. Get at us. If your 20s have been like that, if you see a lot of our lives mirroring each other's, let us know. We're super interested in that. And just sending y'all all the love and light and peace you need. It's definitely okay to advocate yourself, because ain't nobody else gonna do it.
Right. And don't forget to contact us through our email, which is located at the bottom around somewhere on this, and also through our Twitter. Our I'm Not Ready Pod on Twitter. And you can come back and talk to us and get connections and like, share, comment. Yes. You know, all the good stuff. 5 stars only.
Yes. And as always, we love you. We appreciate you. We see you, all of you, in every identity that you have, and we hope nothing but the best for you. Stay safe and wear your fucking mask,
please. Jesus, dusty ass.